Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first came. Right now, Lord, please take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, first me. One more time, Lord, please take me back, take me back, take me back, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, time, please, Lord, take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, amen. Soon and very soon, we are going to see. Soon and very soon, oh, we are going to see. Soon and very soon, soon and very soon, we are you ready to meet him? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more crying, no more crying, yeah. No more crying, yeah. No more crying, yeah. Oh, we are going to see the King. No more crying, yeah. Oh, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Yeah.
can all be seated, Sister Asenath, as she comes. We'll fly away someday. Amen. You don't look like, but I think I'll believe you'll make it. Amen. If I didn't have the guitar, I'll be running around. I'm not saying do it. I'll be so excited. Amen. Amen. But that's the way I feel. Hallelujah.
His name. I ask you, Lord Jesus, fulfill my desire. Please light me and make me a chariot of fire. Come ride on my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master, come ride on my life, and I will be a chariot of fire. Come rule in my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master. Come ride on my life, and I will be your chariot of fire. I ask you to worship, I stand to acclaim the King of all glory, Christ Jesus his name. I ask you, Lord Jesus, fulfill my desire. Please light me and make me a chariot of fire. Come ride on my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master. Come ride on my life, to this one thing I wholly aspire. Come rule in my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master. Come ride on my life, and I will be your chariot of fire. Come rule on my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master. Come ride on my life, and I will be a chariot of fire. Come ride on my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Master. Come ride on my life, to this one thing I wholly aspire. A chariot of fire, a chariot of fire, a chariot of fire, a chariot of fire.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. Let's just shake ourselves one more time before we slow down. These are the days of Elijah, proclaiming the word of the Lord.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of the harvest, of famine and darkness and sorrow, we are the voice of the risen Christ. We pray the word of the Lord. Behold, we come riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call of your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. God of Zion's hills are revealed. am your servant. David rebuilding the temple.
Hallelujah!
Rolling worthy the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the wool. And we are the believers in your God, declaring the word of the Lord. Holy, holy, like the sun, call of your voice. To hear our jubilee, out of Zion's hillside. Holy comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call of your voice, year of jubilee, God of Zion's salvation come. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There is no God, there is no God. There is no God, 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 there is no God. Behold, he comes on the clouds. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of jubilee. God of Zion's hillside, behold, he comes, riding on the, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call of your voice, it's a year of jubilee. God of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Amen.
Yakanaka Vangeli. Yakanaka vangeli ashe. Yakanaka vangeli. Yakanaka vangeli ashe. Chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka. Chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka. Chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka.
Hallelujah.
Rinde moto vangeli, rinde moto, rinde moto vangeli ashe. Rinde moto vangeli, rinde moto vangeli ashe. Chingurinda kuta kuti, chingurinda kuta kuti rinde moto. Chingurinda kuta kuti rinde moto. Chingurinda kuta kuti rinde moto. Fire, 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 fire.
Hallelujah!
Fire, 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 fire. Fire, 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 vangeli ashe. Chingurinda kuta kuti fire, fire. 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 Hallelujah, vangeli. Hallelujah, hallelujah, vangeli ashe. Hallelujah, vangeli. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, vangeli. Hallelujah, hallelujah, vangeli ashe. Hallelujah, vangeli. Hallelujah, hallelujah, vangeli ashe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey.
Daniel.
Praise, hallelujah. We are praising, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise, hallelujah. Oh, Hosanna. Hosanna, hallelujah. Hosanna.
Come on, Anna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Oh,
last time.
We are praising, praising the Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship, we adore you, we love you. Hallelujah. We are praising, praising. Hallelujah. We are praising, praising the Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. We're praising our Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is looking down and he's smiling. He's saying, wow, is this really happening? I can't believe it. From the Dublin church? Wow. He's so excited. Amen. Now when the word comes, let's still be praising the Lord. Even if the pastor says, Brother George, you're a sinner. We just say, we are praising, praising the Lord. Amen. We praise him in all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's change the order. Let's prepare for the word now.
As we gather, may your spirit move among us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we...
Hallelujah! We love you, Lord!
We'll be blessed because...
Well, let's sing that one more time with meaning from our hearts as we gather. Hallelujah!
As we gather, may your spirit move among us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise your name. Because we...
Hallelujah, his steadfast love.
Steadfast love of the Lord.
Oh, it never ceases. Thank you, Jesus.
His mercy is never come to an end.
Oh, I knew you.
Oh, I know everyone. So so fresh, so new.
Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you,
Lord.
Let's do that one more time. The steadfast love of God.
Steadfast love of the Lord.
Oh, it never ever runs out. His mercies never come to an end.
Oh, I knew, oh, I know. Savior, oh, everyone.
So fresh, so new. Hallelujah.
Oh,
we are here pure heart to worship Him this morning. Hallelujah, we want a pure heart. Oh, a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for today, Lord. A heart that follows out after thee. Oh Lord, through your word this morning, minister pure heart, a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for, Lord. A heart that follows out after thee. Oh, one more time, a pure heart this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, a pure heart. That's what I... Please, Lord, I need a pure heart, Lord, if there's anything I need. A heart that follows out after thee. Oh, Lord, I want a pure heart. A pure heart. That's what I'm longing for, my Lord. A heart that follows out after thee. Oh, a heart that I do. A heart that I do. So that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided. One you and who. That beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises from you. A sweet aroma of worship, a sweet aroma of worship that rises from you. As the deer this morning, hallelujah. As the deer panted for the water, so longing after where you Lord. You are Lord, my heart's desire. I long to worship you. Where you live, you alone are my strength, my shield. Where I live, oh my spirit. Hallelujah. I long to worship you. You, my friend, Lord. You, my friend, and you, my brother. Oh, you are my King. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you more than so much. Oh, that is the you alone. You alone are my strength, my strength. You alone are my strength. I long to worship you. Surely around you, the last one. Hallelujah. Surely around you is the constant. Hallelujah. Surely around you, the door to heaven is found. Heaven, we know. Standing on holy ground, he is your
today. We've got some requests. Let's pray for Brother Joel. He's traveling to Congo this week. May the Lord be with you, brother, as you travel. Sister Julie is asking for prayer for her niece in hospital in South Africa. Doctors are not sure what's wrong with her, but she's very sick. So we'll put her before the Lord. And also to greet Brother Vadim. He's here again. God bless you, Brother Vadim. Good to see you, brother. Amen. And also we have visitors from Newfoundland in Canada, Brother Augustine and Sister Elise. God bless you, Richard. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. May you be welcome in his house. Amen. Nice to meet you, yes. Let's bow our heads with a prayer. Let's put these requests before the Lord. I know Ceciliana is traveling this week as well. May the Lord be with her. Oh, Father, what a pleasure, what a privilege to come unto you, to commit our ways unto you, Father, because we know when you are in the program, Father, it doesn't matter what comes, it doesn't matter what goes, but Father, we'll always come out well in the end. So we want to pray for our brothers. He will travel to Congo. You give him a blessed time there. Father, bless him with his family. Fight his battles. Be with him in everything, Lord. We pray, bring him back safely, Lord. Feed his soul. Bless him. Let him be a blessing. Our sister who travels this week to Lithuania, bless her as well, we'd pray. Father, we do commit into your hands, Lord. Father, I pray for Sister Julie's niece. Father, even now, Lord, Father, the power that you have to discern. Lord, let your discerning power, even now, go down deep within the veil. Father, may you discern the very cause. May you discern the very need of that girl, Lord, we'd pray. Father, Lord, it may hide from the doctors, Lord. But Father, there's nothing I can hide from your presence. There's nothing I can hide from you. So Lord, I'm asking of you even now that you'll move in a real way. Father, even as your daughter has brought this request, Lord, and is standing in the gap upon this day. Father, even as you put a burden upon her heart, Lord. Father, we come and we bring that burden back unto thee. And Lord, we ask that you'd move and that you'd glorify your name. Father, we're grateful, Lord, to be in your presence upon this day, in your service. I pray for Gitana this day, for her neck, that you'd help her, that you'd touch her, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that even now, you'd minister of your mercy right into her situation, Lord, that you'd raise her up for your glory, we pray. Father, the visitors now get blessed them. Father, bless Brother Vadim, Lord. Establish and help him. Our visitors from Canada, bless them, we pray. And Father, Lord, as we come now to the unveiling of your word, Father, we want to, Lord, just come into that place that, Lord, would be good ground. That, Father, the word would be a seed unto us upon this day that it would bring forth after its own kind. Father, Lord, we just come and lay ourselves before thee. Let your will be done. Every other need, Lord, of sickness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, you said that you sent your word and you healed them. Let it be so. Every power of oppression, darkness, Lord, whatsoever there would be. Lord, you are the light. You are the way. You are the truth. Shine your light, Lord, into every situation, Lord, upon this day. Give wisdom. Grant your leadership and your grace as we wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's open our Bibles. Let's read the same scripture we read last week. Let's read from Genesis chapter 2, just to get a reminder. We're looking at family issues. Last weekend, this, so we just want to continue on a little bit this week. Just to say, let's keep the youth meetings coming up in prayer, please. If you'd really keep those in prayer next week, not this week, the following week, starting Wednesday evening, let's keep those meetings in prayer. Genesis 2, let's read from verse 21. 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they're both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. Let's also read from Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. As we always say, this is a scripture which is a prophecy of your life. If you want to know your future, if you want to know what your future holds, it's easy. Just read Galatians 6 verse 7 and it's going to tell you your future. Galatians 6 verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints, today. So we started last week, we looked at the thought of beyond the honeymoon. So we're trying to have a look at relationships, you know, the establishment of relationships. So we don't really want to get much onto what we spoke of last week because there's quite a bit we'd like to cover today. If you could just bring the slides from last week, sister, just the first slide, just our good old picture, if you'd bring it up for us once again. But we read Galatians 6 verse 7 because Galatians 6 verse 7 is a scripture that applies in every aspect of your life. That's going to apply in your spiritual life. If you're not sowing in your spiritual life, you're not going to get a harvest. It's going to apply in your family life. If you're not investing in your family, if you're not sowing the right seed in your family, in your relationships, you're not going to get the results which you're expecting to get. And if you're looking in any of your relationships today, if you look at your relationships with brethren that are around you, you look at your relationship with your children, you look at your relationship with your wife, your husband, you look at your relationship in any aspect, you can bring it back to this scripture. And you can see that you get what you sow, or you reap what you sow. If you're sowing the right thing, if you're investing correctly into any God-given relationship, as we said last week, it has the potential to become a masterpiece. Every relationship has the potential to come to perfection. But just as much as us in the stature of a perfect man, as we saw last week, you don't come to perfection without being disciplined. You don't come to perfection without learning the principles of whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. To find certain keys, to unlock certain doors at certain times, you know, to overcome certain things, it does require our input. We've got to sow into these things if we want it to reap. And if we sow, in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, Paul goes on to say, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So depending on how much you're investing, if you really want your children to be what they're supposed to be, you've got to invest in your children. You've got to spend time. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to sacrifice some maybe of the things which you would like to do to spend time with your children. If you want to get your marriage to the place that it's supposed to be, you've got to, if you're going to sow sparingly into your marriage, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you're going to sow bountifully, that's the principle of the word, you're going to reap the harvest that you're looking for. So God's work makes it real, real clear about these things. And the prophet speaks of something which I find is a real good principle. The prophet speaks about, I'll read just from portions of three quotes. He says, you know, things today, we're looking at big things, but we leave off the little things. And we'll find out that in relationships, that it's not the big things that we do many times. Many times our children are not looking for us to do the big thing, but they're missing out on the little things that we're not doing. You know, we're spending all our time at work saying, I'm saving to take the family on a big, long holiday. And the children say, look, we'd prefer not to have the big, long holiday. We prefer to have the consistent time with daddy on a daily basis more than, you know, you sacrificing trying to raise money for the big thing, the prophet says, but it's the little things that we leave undone. He goes on to say, he says, watch the simple things. It's the little things that you leave undone, not the big things that you're trying to do. So if you come to a place in any relationship where you find there's a strain, where you find maybe that something's coming that didn't used to be there, sometimes it's not that important to look at the big things, because most of the time it's not big things that have brought it there, but it's a series of small things that have brought it there. It's the simple things. Sometimes if you look at what did you used to do in that relationship, and what are you doing now? That was a principle Jesus taught us about our first love. To remember from where you've fallen, go back and do the first works. You know, sometimes it's not the big things. If you're getting out of the spirit, if you find you're being tempted, sometimes it's not the big things that you're doing. But sometimes you're just not praying each day. You're not getting in the word each day. You're not fellowshipping with brethren. It's the simple things, the prophet says. If you focus on the simple things, the smaller things, and get them right, sow correctly into the simple things, the big things, generally speaking, do take care of themselves. He says again, sometimes you leave. Then he starts his sentence again. He says, it's not the big things you do. It's the little things you leave undone. Remember, a chain is only its strongest and its weakest link. So there's a certain place, your weak link, the place where you're not investing properly, you're not focusing properly, is obviously, if I was the devil, I would know where to aim. You know, if I'm trying to break the chain, I'm not going to aim at the place where the chain is strong. I'm going to look for the weakest link. I'm going to look for the place where there's no fellowship or time or investment, or not much effort's been put in that place on the relationship. And that's a place that I'm going to focus on, because that's a place where, you know, the whole chain is weakest at its weakest link. And if you can break the chain at that place, no matter how strong the chain is in other aspects, you've broken the whole thing by just focusing on the place where it's weakest. You know, so it's the simple things many times that we just need to focus on. Last week we looked at the realm of the spirit and the realm of the soul. And we saw that the spirit is the realm of the emotions. It's the affections. Now the prophet tells us that we love from our spirit. We don't love from our body. So this is the realm that when you're speaking of filial love, when you're speaking of friendship love, fellowship love, brotherly love, that is the realm that we're loving from, is the realm of the human spirit. And then we had a look at the soul and we saw that agape love, that's the realm of agape love. Unconditional love comes forth from the soul. But your human spirit, your emotional realm, is very dependent on what other people feed it in order for it to grow and respond. Yes. You know, for your development in your relationship, if you want to develop your relationship deeper with somebody, in this particular realm, it's very much dependent on how people treat you, how people minister to your needs. That's how you build up a friendship. If you find somebody and they just seem to minister to you, you just like being with that person. There's a something inside of you, deep inside of you, and when you're with that person, it just seems that deep is satisfied. You find that starting to build a relationship because that person is ministering into this realm here, into your emotional realm more. So the Lord, we saw last week, has given us the ministry of the word, first of all. He's given us the message of the hour to minister to the soul. Amen. That's the primary function that that he wants to minister to get things right on the inside. So he gives us ministry, he gives us ministers, he gives us, you know, all the different offices in the church. What for? To really focus mainly on the soul. That's the main thing of coming to church. And then we saw that he gives the family mainly for the area of the spirit. You know, like we said Adam was doing perfectly well in his soul. He had a perfect oneness with God, but God looked at him and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Because there was something in the emotional realm that needed to be ministered to Adam. So the Lord took out the feminine part, made the woman, presented her back to the man, so that she could minister to that particular realm that God himself looked down and said, I'm not ministering to that realm in him. I'm going to have to make something to minister to that particular realm. Yeah. So he gave Adam, his wife, to minister in that particular realm. So though Adam was perfectly fulfilled, perfectly ministered to in the realm of his soul, as he had fellowship, as the great light would come down in the evening time, but there was another aspect that needed to be ministered to as well. And friend, it's an important aspect. Yeah, because once we neglect this aspect, we'll see we give a real room and opportunity to the devil. Because the devil chose this realm as the battlefield. The prophet says he chose the mind. He chose the realm of your mind as the battlefield because he knows this is such a changeable realm. Now today you feel loved, tomorrow you don't feel loved. Today you feel you're saved, tomorrow you don't feel that you're saved. It's a very changeable realm, and that's why it's a realm that needs continual attention. If you don't really cultivate in this kind of a realm, you know, your children will start very soon feeling they're not loved. Though you may love them, but if you're not communicating that love in a real way, if you're not actually ministering into this realm here, they're not going to feel the love. No matter how much theory you can say that you love them, but love needs to be communicated in the right way in order to achieve its purpose. We're speaking of filial love here especially. Fellowship love, it needs to be communicated, and Satan knows that. That's why Satan, when he chose the battlefield, he knew exactly where to go. He knows he can only get to the soul indirectly. He can't get directly to your soul. He's got to come through the realm of the spirit. And he knows that your emotions, because he has your affections, yeah? Your memory, your imaginations, your reasoning, that kind of a realm, your emotional realm, your spirit realm, that's the place that he really, really wants to work. So if he's going to work in a relationship, which realm is he going to work on? He's going to be working on that realm. He's going to come and he knows exactly why he chose to minister in that place. Now, if we think of relationships, let's take a spiritual relationship and let's compare it with a natural relationship. If you get in a message, like we are in the message, and you find that message doesn't minister to your present tense needs, what will you end up doing? You'll end up looking for another message. You'll end up saying, this message is fine, but it doesn't minister to my soul. It's not meeting my day-to-day needs. Yeah. So how much more now is it going to be in the realm of the spirit, the realm of the emotional realm? If we're not ministering to the emotional needs, yeah, of those that are around us in the relationships that we're in, and they're not feeling satisfied and fulfilled in that particular aspect of their makeup, which is the main area of relationship, what are they going to end up doing? They're going to end up going and looking for it somewhere else. And that's where the devil comes in. That's the weakest link. That's the place that he comes in. He comes to offer a substitute when we're not ministering correctly in the right realm. That's how the prophet says, if you don't feed your children correctly, they're going to eat in the garbage can. Yeah, and if you don't feed them emotionally correctly, if you don't satisfy their needs and their desires and the deep that's inside of them, Satan's going to provide somebody out there to meet it. Yeah, and in your marriage as well with your wife, if you're not meeting the whole person, because we can take the word and minister to the soul of somebody, but if you're not ministering to their spirit realm at the same time, you know, it's very hard for them to accept the things that we're saying to them. We'll see it as we go along. So the prophet says that in Christ is revealed in his own word. He says, you can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. Now he's speaking about filial love here. So that's the realm of filial love. Now we saw last week that filial love is conditional love. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love, if I have agape love, I'm going to love you when you're unlovable. I'm going to love you even when you do nothing for me in return. I'm going to love you even though you don't deserve my love. That's what agape love is. But filial love is not like that. Filial love is conditional love. Filial love is dependent on finding something good in somebody, something attractive, something which pleases us. And the moment somebody pleases us, filial love, fellowship love, it rises up inside of us. There's a response. You know, so filial love is the love of response. So if you keep doing something to minister to the need of a person in that realm, you're feeding the love. You're feeding the love inside of that person. That person's going to love you more. Then they're going to love you more. I'm speaking of filial love. The more that you minister in that realm, the more that you invest in that realm, the more your relationship's going to be a loving relationship. Yeah, I mean, it just really does make sense, doesn't it? And that's how we say when it gets to the stage in a relationship where it's beyond the honeymoon and the honeymoon feeling's gone, you need agape love to kick in. Because agape love's unconditional love, and agape love doesn't want to leave things in the way that they are. Agape love's willing now to sacrifice, yeah, to bring the relationship back to the place that it's supposed to be, to get the filial love, the first love going once again. But it's going to have to make sacrifice. It's going to have to roll up its sleeves. Now you're going to have to take time out. You're going to have to be prayerful. You're going to have to be looking to meet the real needs in the life of somebody else when there's a strain in the relationship. If there's a strain in the relationship with your child, the first thing you've got to understand is, what's caused this? You know, what's come in? How has the devil managed to get an inlet here? And then you've got to minister to that need. And if you go and meet that need, you find the love starts to build once again. The relationship starts to build once again. I will restore, saith the Lord. You know, that's the principles of his word. So the prophet, he says that agape love is love from above. Filial love, it's love down here. It's love at this level, it's human love. But it's an important part. If you read your Bible, you'll see that God also loves with filial love. When it speaks about Jesus, he loved John more than the other disciples. That's not agape love. There was something in John that he loved. There were some characteristics inside of John. John typing the bride, that Jesus, when he looked at all his disciples in filial love, he loved John, the disciple who Jesus loved. You know, but agape love is unconditional. Agape love won't love anybody more than anybody else. You know, there was just something inside of John that just ministered to the human part of Jesus and brought filial love out. And he says, I love being with this guy. And there's people like that. The prophet says, people that you love to be with. No, there's just something about it. You like being with other people, but there's just certain people. There's just a certain something about them or how they act, how they do it. It just ministers to you. It just makes you feel satisfied. You just love being with that person. Doesn't mean that you don't love the other people. You do. But it's just natural the way we make. Even in ministry, there's certain ministries you will appreciate more than others, depending on the way you made. If you made in a certain way, you like evangelistic preaching, you like apostolic preaching. If you made another way, you like teaching. If you like, you know, there'll be a certain preference that according to your temperament, according to what you've been through, there's something which will minister to you. Maybe in certain seasons it may change. But it's exactly the same thing as with people, as in ministries. Because we gravitate to things that minister to us. Now if something's satisfying me inside, if something's making me feel more complete, I'm going to stay there. Why am I going to move away from there? You know, why am I going to look for something else when I find something that satisfies? So if I find a message that satisfies my soul, God gives us now the family to satisfy the spirit. And that includes the family of God. Now the family of God is such an important part of the family as well. We will see it as we go along. So to really, really be complete, we have to feed the souls of people and we have to feed the spirit realm as well. Yeah, by the things we do, by the concern that we show. It's not enough just to feed the soul. Now somebody comes to your door hungry, you get out the spoken word and you start preaching to them on the door. Now feed the man's body first. Now go through the barrier first of hunger and then the man's going to open up maybe his soul. He's going to allow you to preach to his soul. The same way in the spirit realm. No, if you're not meeting the need of somebody, if somebody's not feeling the love, it's not easy for you to correct that person. That person's not going to accept correction from you. They're going to say, but you don't love me. Where do you think you have the jurisdiction to come and tell me all of these things? You don't care for me and my needs. Yeah. That's why it's an important thing, because to get to the soul, you've got to go through this realm here. There's no other way that you can get to the soul. You know, so you've got to minister to that place as well. We've got to minister. The prophet says it in Paradox. I once put this quote on our little forum. It says, in Paradox, it says, you've got to come back to the entire full gospel. It was made for the full man. So God, when he sends his gospel, he sends it to the full man. It's an entire gospel. It's going to minister to every portion of you. He says, the entire full gospel was made for the full man by a complete God, who was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So he knows how to minister to every realm. Jesus knows what we need emotionally today. He can be touched by the feelings of infirmities. He can come down and he can put his arm around us. He can minister into that realm that nothing else can minister into. Yeah, and he's given us relationships. So when the prophet says he's given us a full gospel, let's not forget what the fifth gospel is. Who knows the fifth gospel? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and mother. Yes. The prophet says, I think mother, the good, true mother, is the fifth gospel. So he's given us the full gospel, and part of it is mother. She's also part of the good news that God gives to us. He gives us the family of God. It's part of his ministration unto us. He gives us godly parents. He gives us godly brethren to surround us, to watch over us, our brother's keeper to keep us. And friends, that's all God's grace towards us. That's all his provision to us to minister to the entire man. Now, as parents, we clothe them, we feed them and all those things. But there's going to have to be a lot more that we're supposed to do as parents. We've got to get into this realm and then we've got to get into that realm. And then we come really doing what we're supposed to as parents. Or as a husband or as a wife. Now we can minister to the needs naturally on the outside, the sensual needs, all those kind of things. But it's got to go a lot deeper than that. Amen. And it's this particular realm that we're speaking about. The spirit realm, that's where the enemy really desires to work. And that's why, like I say, if you're not ministering properly to the people in you and that you're in relationship in this realm here, Don't expect them to take much heed to what you're saying here.
Amen.
They won't. You know, you can come with all the theory you want from the word, all the theory you want from the message. But if that person, if you haven't contacted their spirit, if there's not a connection there, if there's not some kind of a bond where somebody at least feels, you know, I know that my wife loves me. So when she says that to me, it might be hard what she's saying, but I know she loves me. So you'll accept what she says. Because you know there's something inside of this fuel tank there inside of the human spirit that's been sufficiently filled by your relationship with somebody that when they do come now, you'll be able to accept what they say. Now, the key which we were speaking about last week was this key of communicating love. Love is expressed in different ways. They actually say there's five ways of expressing love. And there's five ways of receiving love, of perceiving love, depending on the way you're made. Not everybody feels loved by the same things. Like we said, you can take and give your wife flowers. It doesn't do much for her. But there's another person who give her flowers, she'll never forget it for the rest of the days of her life. There's certain people you can, you know, speak words to them. You can say that you love them. You can say different things and those words will be so meaningful to them. Yet to other people, those words don't mean much. Because some people, they want love to be shown more practically to them. When you do something for them, that's when they say, I know he loves me because he did that for me. Now, and all your words that you try to offer to that person will never compensate for the way they understand love. If somebody understands love in the way of somebody expressing it by doing something for them, showing a kindness to them, you know, no matter how much you use words to try to show that you love them, but you never minister in that kind of a way to them, they're never going to feel loved. They may be loved, but it's not enough to be loved. You have to feel love. Now you have to feel it. You've got to have something that ministers inside of that realm there that makes, like, it ministers to the deep that's inside of you. And something inside of you responds and says, but ha, hey, that was really nice. And it fills you up in the emotional realm. And it bonds you close. It makes you feel that you want to be with that person more. But like I say, this realm is changeable, friends. This realm is changeable. It's like a garden that needs a lot of attention. Because it can change day to day. And a prayer, especially the times of life, the prophet says, when your wife gets into menopause, if ever she was your sweetheart, she's got to be your sweetheart then. Now you're going to have to love her in a special way. And you know, brothers know after childbirth and things like that, sometimes the depression that comes and different things. Now there's certain times where you can't just go in normal cruise gear. There's certain times when you can see, but hey, no, something's coming here, the situation's changed. And you've got to put yourself in another gear to meet the need of that particular time that's going on. Friends, with children especially, they say that teenage runaways, most teenage runaways run away from home because they feel they're not loved and appreciated. They feel they're not loved and appreciated. And most parents of teenage runaways say, I love my child. But they haven't learned the way to express that love. That child's not feeling that love in a practical way. Now, so obviously the parent hasn't contacted the spirit of the child. Now, you haven't somehow found that key, you know, to really get into that inside life with your child, to really bond like that. You know, because, friend, it's easy to miss the target in these things. That's very easy. It's very easy because something ministers to you and you appreciate, you think it's going to help somebody else. It doesn't mean that. We're all individuals, all respond to different things. We all have different needs at different times. So just because I like someone to do something to me, that satisfies me, doesn't mean that when I do it to my wife, it's going to satisfy her. There's some other way that I need to find to really minister to the need, the current need, the deep that's inside of her. And then there's going to be the response that comes. It always does. So, and like we say, where the biggest mistake that we make is, we've seen it. If somebody doesn't contact the spirit of their child, yeah? If somebody is not really communicating, especially in the teenage years, you'll find a father, he doesn't bond with that child in the teenage years. What does he end up doing? He thinks he can minister to the soul. He can bring the law now. He can bring all the requirements. If you want to stay in this home, you've got to live like this. You know, if you You were baptized. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. And yet he's not ministering to the real emotional need of that child. All that he's doing by trying to bring things to the soul, the word to the soul, many times is just pushing that child further away. Pushing the child further away. Because if a child is not feeling that you love them, and then you keep coming with discipline, you keep coming with correction, time and time again, friend, in the end they either resent you, or they start looking to say, where does my dad, where does my mother get this from? They get it from those books. And they'll end up hating the very message that you're trying to tell them is the truth. Because they're gonna feel, my dad doesn't love me. And things change when he believed that message. Because now we're just trying to take it and just minister to this realm. But we're forgetting about this realm and the changeableness, especially as adolescence comes on and somebody moves into the teenage years. That's where the biggest changes come in. When the teenager now is trying to learn independence, they're starting to feel independent. They're trying to find their own identity. You know, they're starting to look at life in a different kind of a way. They're starting to look in an independent kind of a way. They'll even come and challenge some of the things that you believe, because it's that time of life when they themselves are able to examine things and make their own conclusions now. So they look and say, I don't know if I really want to. I'm going to make a big decision here. Do I believe really what my parents believe? Let me go and find out. Why do they believe these things? And if you're not careful, you will take that as a challenge. And you will say to them, that's the devil. Yeah. How can you challenge the things that you believe? You'll go to hell because of... No, my friend, you've got to be careful. Amen. You've got to be careful because there's a change now taking place inside of here. The realm of their reasoning, the realm that they're starting to think in a different kind of a way. So surely our relationships have to move as time moves. And we've got to realize that, I need to minister in a different kind of a way now. I can't use the old way when they were 7, 8, 9 years old, when whatever you tell them, they just accept it. Amen. No, they haven't come to that stage, even intellectually, which they come to in teenage years, to become more logical and work things out and look at different combinations of things and say, if this is like this, then it can come to that. But now when they find this new ability in the teenage years, what's the first thing a teenager thinks? Teenager, first thing it thinks is it knows more than the parents. All of a sudden, they just get this boost of learning. They get this boost of understanding of, hey, the world and the way things work. They'll think that you don't know anything. So now they're not just going to accept everything you say to them anymore. They're going to analyze what you say. And they're going to come with questions. They're going to challenge you. And if you take a personal offense at a time like that, you're going to push them away to somebody else who's going to answer those questions. Because the devil always has a substitute. They're going to find somebody else who's going to satisfy them intellectually at that kind of time. Satisfy how they're growing at that kind of a time. The need they have at that kind of a time. And friend, that's a great mistake which you've seen people make. That's a great mistake. At the time when your children need you more than ever before, especially in the teenage years, we're trying to use last year's weaponry. Yet the battlefield's changed this year. Amen. And we wonder why. And then it was same like I'm saying with your wife. Now when your wife has children and she doesn't feel like she's slim and beautiful anymore, you know, and you've got to understand. You know, you've got to really know what to say and what to do at those kind of a time. Otherwise you can make things worse. Although you're sincere, you can actually make a situation worse without intending to make the situation worse. Listen to the prophet and sister Rebecca. I'll just read this one here again. Just to show how easy it is, even though here was a prophet.
Yes, sir.
And his wife, they were very spiritual people.
Amen.
But sister Rebecca had a need inside of her emotional realm. But they were still just trying to use the same old approach that all is used with her. Not realizing she was changing inside of this realm here. She was thinking of relationships now. No, she was thinking of the next stage of life now. She was thinking of getting committed to somebody now. And the prophet and sister Mira, at first, they didn't recognize that. And then her behavior started to change. She started to rebel. Friend, when there's rebellion, there's always a cause. There's always a cause. There's a deep which hasn't been ministered to in some way. It's not finding the correct answers. It's not finding the correct oil and wine to be poured in at that kind of a time. So the natural tendency is to rebel, is to become emotional, is to do something, because we're not satisfied with the way things are. Let us say the vast majority of people who attempt suicide, they didn't want to die. It's a cry for help. Maybe they've tried different ways of getting people to see the great turmoil they've got going inside of them. But no one seems to be able to enter into that inner veil. No one seems to be able to minister to the need that they have. So they do something to try to get people's attention. Yeah? So that somebody, please help me. It can really be a cry for help. And many times rebellion in the teenage years, it's a cry for help. Many times misbehavior, even in younger children, it's a cry for help. Amen. If you don't give your child enough attention, they'll do things wrong, and then you give them attention. Though it's wrong attention, but they end up thinking it's better some attention rather than no attention. They'd rather have your attention in some way, so they do something to get your attention because they remember how it used to be before. But daddy used to have a lot of time with me. But he doesn't have so much time with me anymore. And you know the problem is, they start blaming themselves. They're saying, I think he doesn't love me anymore. And I think there's something wrong. I read a true story of a girl, 13-year-old girl, who had a sexually transmitted disease. And then they called in the parents. You know, the doctor called in the parents and said, what is going on with your daughter? And they went on to find out that when she was 6 years old, her father had left the mother. And that girl from the age of six took that personally. She felt, my daddy left because he didn't love me. And no one ever ministered to that need. Because the mother obviously fighting her own battles. Now she's a single mother, the things she's got to go through. So about 4 years later, when the girl was about 10 years old, the mother gets married again. And the little girl looks and says, now mommy's got someone to love her again, but I don't have anyone to love me. And now the devil always gives you the alternative. Now she meets this guy with the slick back hair. Yeah, and the guy with the smooth tongue, and he offers her love. Yeah, the wrong kind of a love. And because of this emotional deficit she has, this deep inside of her that's crying out for someone to minister to her need, because of what she's been through. It's normal how she's feeling, because it's not normal what she's been through. There's nothing wrong with the way she's feeling, but she just needs someone to contact her spirit. She just needs someone to realize where she is. Allow her to say what's in her heart. They give her an environment to express herself. And then say, oh, that's where the problem's coming in. So when they ask the parents says, but we love her so much. We do all these other things for her. But all the things they were doing for her wasn't the important one thing that she needed at that time inside of her life. And that was the thing that caused her to go. And Satan always has a substitute. He always has the alternative there on the side. No, that when you now not getting it in the right place, you're going to go and look and the devil's going to have someone to give it to you in the wrong place. And then it becomes a sinful thing. But only now when she opened up and she started to express now why she did what she did. It was like a natural result of the things that she'd been through. That the parents started to realize, but hey, we haven't been communicating love to her. Now we can say, I love you, but we're not ministering to the need inside of her. There's something which is carrying as a heavy weight and a burden. Right in this realm, which is the battlefield. Which is where Satan loves to come and play with your mind. He loves to come and play with your feelings, your reasoning. That's a realm that he loves to play in. And friends, I remember those years back speaking about victims of circumstance. There's so many victims of circumstance. Now the prophet speaks of the woman at the well. Maybe she was put out as a young girl on the streets. Maybe her parents put out on the street as a young girl. And what does she end up doing now? She goes looking for love in the wrong kind of places. And she gets into a relationship with the first husband. She marries young, yeah? She gets in a relationship. But she's got this deep emotional something inside of her, always asking herself, why is it? What did I do that my parents didn't love me? Why? My parents didn't love me. There must be something wrong with me. And so she thinks, let me get in a relationship. And she gets in a relationship with this man. And now, unfortunately, this man, he's got a heavy burden. Because she's not just looking for a husband, she's looking for a father as well. And she's looking for a mother. Because she's looking for someone to minister oil and wine inside of that realm of her emotions back there. And the problem with the spirit realm, it's in two parts. There's the conscious and the subconscious.
Amen.
You know, so things, when they're too painful, us, we push them into the subconscious. But it's still there. It still affects the way we look at things. It still affects the way we react to situations. Because it's still part of our spiritual makeup, that event. It's not maybe in our minds all the time, but it's inside of there. There's a deep inside of there that's needing to be ministered to. Now, people try to preach to her, the woman at the well. She knew all about Jacob's well. She knew all about the temple in Samaria. She knew all about the temple of the Jews. She knew the Messiah was coming. She knew all the word. But nothing she had met yet could minister to her need. All the things she had been through, it didn't minister to her current need. The deep that was inside of her. And the prophet says, when that boy was eating the pencil, the deep calling to the deep, it was because there was a craving inside of him for something that his body lacked. And friends, all of us go through things. In the days of our youth, you bullied at school. People make fun because you got a big nose, big ears, yeah? Or you got red hair. Or you come from a different tribe. Yeah, or your parents are poor like the prophet. And those things, they wound us inside of here. Those things, they leave an imprint inside of the realm of the spirit. In our emotions, our memory, and our mind. And you press those things down. And then later on in life, sometimes you wonder why we can't respond to certain kinds of... somebody trying to show love to us in a certain way. No. A husband wants to come, he gets married, wants to embrace his wife, she doesn't want to be touched by a man. Why? And if you go back in the past, you're going to find there was a man maybe touched in the wrong way. So deep in her subconscious, she now associates what this man's about to do with something which was so painful. Something maybe she blamed herself for in the days of her youth. Yeah, until the husband now, like the woman at the well, can become a little bit more than a husband now. You know, he's going to have to become like a psychologist in a way. He's going to have to become something beyond just a normal man. And the first man, he tries his best, he gives up. Guam, divorce. She marries the second one. She thinks, okay, maybe this one will understand me. I think it'll work this time. You know, once the chemistry of love, like we said last week, 1 year, 2 years, chemistry of love, it down goes the reserves of that chemistry. And then you start seeing people for what they actually are. Hey, then the husband looks and says, this woman's got big troubles up there in the mind. I'm not prepared for this. I didn't marry her to be a father to her. He divorces her. She has five husbands. And then she lives with another man who's not even her husband. Until she met Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus understood.
Amen.
And like the prophet in the prayer lines, when Jesus would come down in spirit form, contact the spirit. There's just a something of contacting somebody's spirit. And we'll see as we grow by that, you know, to contact somebody's spirit, it's an investment, friends. It's not something that just happens like that. No, there's got to be a determination. There's got to be patience. You've got to spend time. Now, there's got to be a commitment of effort. Now, you've got to want to contact somebody's spirit. Because it's a minefield here sometimes. It's a minefield. And while you're trying to get to the real issue, you're going to be hitting this and hitting that. And there's got to be reactions and things said and things which you didn't expect to come from that person. But many times it's simply because you're probing closer and closer to the real issue. The real wound inside of there that maybe a plaster was just put over it, but it needs to be opened up again and it needs to be healed properly this time. And that's how it was with the woman at the well. So the prophet now, they start seeing a change in the behavior of Sister Rebecca. And the problem comes in as she gets the wrong friend. But now you'll find out that Sister Rebecca, she's wanting to get married. Yeah, she wanted to get in a relationship. She's 18 years old.
Yes.
All her friends are starting to get in a relationship. But Brother Branham, he's made up his mind, I'm not going to let her marry. I'm going to make her work in the office with me until she's filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, and maybe the prophet, in all his innocence, that's what he wants for his daughter. He wants to keep her from the world. He doesn't want her to get hurt. Yeah. But what is she wanting? There's an emotional need inside of there. No. She doesn't want to be kept in an office. She doesn't want to have other friends and are starting getting in relationships and thinking of marriage. And her parents are telling, no, Rebecca, you'll stay with daddy. You don't have to get married. That was fine when she was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old. But things have changed since then. She doesn't think of it the same way. Like when we speak to our children now, they'll say, daddy, and when I grow up, I'll be together with you. You know, we'll go out and we'll you go and preach, and I'll go together. And that's wonderful. And you'd really love it to be like that. But there's going to come the teenage years when the challenge is going to come. You know, that we're not going to just say the same old things that we used to say when they were young. Because their emotional needs, there's a development going on. There's a change inside of the makeup of a person. So the prophet says, I've just went through that experience with my Rebecca. She got to be a little teeny, a teenager. And she was going with some girl when we first went out there. We find out where the problem comes in as well is that they'd moved. Now you're taking somebody from the place they were born, their neighborhood they're used to, the home they've always lived in, the friends. You know, they know every child on the block. No, they know everybody. There's the extended family there. Now there's uncles and there's aunts and there's cousins and all of that. And then you take your family and you take them to Tucson. And you put them there. That's a big change, friends. If it was a big change for the prophet, how much more for his family? That wasn't an easy change for them. So when they get now, she doesn't have any friends. And the devil's there to provide somebody. And he has a girl who loves rock and roll music. And somehow this girl befriends Sister Rebecca and says, come on over to my house, I'll teach you to play the piano. She's not going to teach her to play the piano the way that the prophet thought that she's going to be teaching to play the piano. It's going to be playing rock and roll music. So the prophet says, she ran over to some girl's house taking music lessons. And I went over, I came by one day, and here this girl was sitting at the piano playing rock and roll. Well, that was just enough for me. So I told her to stay away from over there. And then she said, well, it's the only place I got to go to take music. Now, friend, that answer wasn't right. And it wasn't really related to the problem, but the problem was brewing inside of her. There was a dissatisfaction in Sister Rebecca. Something wasn't being ministered to her need. And this need was pressing to her. It was real to her. So now, because you're not ministering to my need here, when you come and tell me to do something unrelated, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Because you're not ministering to my need. Therefore, you don't react in the right way. Doesn't mean it was right what she did. The prophet says, you know how teenies get. He says, practically everyone goes through that age. You did and I did. And we've got to think their thoughts. So we can substitute something here. To contact someone's spirit is to think their thoughts.
Amen.
That's a key.
Amen.
When trouble comes in a relationship, any relationship, what do we need to do? Be able to think their thoughts. But how can we think someone's thoughts if we don't give them any time to express their thoughts?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If we don't give them an atmosphere that's conducive,
amen,
for them to express those hurtful things. That whenever they wanted to speak to us, we cut them off. No, I'm too busy now. No, daddy is busy now. I'll speak to you later. Or, mommy, no, look, I'm doing the ironing now. Yeah? We've got to be careful at those kind of times.
Amen.
Because it's like we said last week, there's only so many times when somebody has a deep inside of them. Yeah, maybe there's a problem in their relationship with you and they don't want it to be like that. They want to resolve this. There's only so many times they'll come and unveil themselves to you because that's sacred sense. That's a sensitive place in their makeup. There's only so many times they'll open up to you and hope that you'll meet them halfway. But if you're going to just trample on that, yeah, not be sensitive to what that person's trying to do at that time, not realize this is a really important thing to this person, This is something hindering them spiritually, or hindering them in their relationship with you. They can't go on anymore with the way things are like this. And to them, maybe this is something they're thinking about at night. They're thinking about in the car, or they're thinking about on the bus going to college. This is a weighty issue to them. It's like a burden on them. And they're coming and they say, okay, let me just unveil a little bit of it. And they come and they present, can I speak to you a little bit about something? No, this and this and this and this. And then if we're not careful at that time, we dismiss it. Like I said last week, you say, oh, I know what that's like. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. Just pray about it. Sometimes it doesn't just need praying. It needs understanding. Yeah, it needs you to unveil yourself, because they're trying to understand, why did you do that to me? Because maybe to them, they're thinking they're to blame. And the devil's hard on their case about that. He's condemning them. There's something wrong with me. I can't seem to make friends with anybody. And so they come thinking, okay, maybe, let me try. I think this person's the right person to try with. And they come and they start to unveil that burden. And then we don't discern at that time that this is important. And we don't like enter in. The prophet says you can never help somebody until you can enter into their feeling. Until you can put yourself in their shoes. And if you don't do it, the person gets even more hurt. And they close up again. And they push it down in their subconscious. And it affects all their relationships. It affects the way they deal with things, the way they look at life. Because there's this something inside of them. There's a deep inside of them which needs a deep to minister to it. And that's what was happening. So the prophet says, and a few days after that, her mother got after her for something. And she sassed her. To sass means to be cheeky or rude. She's rude to her mother. The prophet says, now that's not Rebecca at all. There's something's changed here. Something's influenced her. You know, this the weak link in the chain. No, maybe we're trying to do a good job on all these other links that are strong, but there's a weak link here. We're missing something here. She never used to behave like this. She never used to speak to her mother like this. Friend, you've got to know their thoughts. You've got to try to look beyond that which is being expressed and try to find the real need. To try to find the real something that's there. It says, so now I ought to have seemingly just taken my belt off, followed her out there in the yard and brought her back with whoops around her. Because that worked before. Up to a certain stage in life, that works. Then there comes a stage, it's not going to work. That's not going to work. It's just going to make it worse if you try to do that. Because she's trying to say, but hey, you guys. Yeah, well, you'll see it as she goes along. She says, but I thought, wait a minute. I've got to think 18-year-old thoughts. So Mida started crying. And I said, I know that you've done all you can do. Now it's out of your hands. Let's take it the next step. And then he persuaded her, let's commit it to the Lord. And I said, look, honey. You've got to listen to me now. It's hard for you to do it because I'm your husband. But people drive across the nations and around for just a few words of advice. So the prophet, this advice had helped so many other people. But now he had to take that advice into his own home. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, friends. We're so good at counseling everybody else. Someone doesn't have any children, they're still single. They know exactly how parents should handle their children. They know. It's amazing. That's an amazing gift that people have. They know exactly. You know, they know, no, you shouldn't do that to your children. Why? Because you read it in some book. Friend, there comes a time when the real, like we say, when the rubber hits the road, the books don't work.
That's right.
It needs that something, that instinct inside of you, that instinct inside of your makeup. That if you are father, if God has given you to be the father to somebody, there should be nothing that God hasn't equipped you to be able to understand inside of that relationship, if you'll just listen hard enough. So I said, that's right, people drive across the nations. Now, when a mother said something about it, she slammed the door and she said,
You expect me to sit here and be a wallflower all my life? And blammy, she slammed the door and went out. That was the devil. You see, the devil was taking advantage of a very real situation. His friends, he's cunning how he does those kind of things. He's taken advantage of a perception in somebody. Don't you find that happens so often? That's what I'm saying. In this realm of fellowship love, of filial love, in all of our relationships, the moment we don't fellowship, I've seen it with people. You don't fellowship much with them for a season, they end up starting to think things. He doesn't care for me anymore. No, maybe he's thinking of this, he's thinking of that. It's natural. It's such a, it's a battlefield. It's such an inconsistent place. It's not like your soul where there's a consistency. Your soul just believes. It doesn't matter about the circumstances. But the realm of the spirit, it needs input. To keep feeling like that, to keep the filial love growing with somebody, it needs input continually. And when we get so busy or there's a change of circumstances, a change of life, we don't have that. Yeah. And there's a season, and then the devil wants to come in at that season to take advantage of that situation. Like he did here. And I said, Mita, take your hands off. I said, we'll quit scolding her. Friends, you can't overcome. Someone's got a negative perception in the emotions, negatively. You can't overcome it by putting more negativity in there. You can't scold somebody in that situation. The prophet was wise. There's times you must scold. But like I say, when the love tank is full, you can correct, you can discipline, you can scold. Your child says, I know daddy loves me, he did that for my good. But if the love tank is empty, if they're not feeling the love, if you haven't expressed love in practical and real ways for a season in life, and they wonder, does my daddy really? Then you come to try to correct them. Resentment starts coming in. Rebellion starts coming in. And the prophet discerned that and he says, no, we don't need to scold her now. She doesn't need that at this time. He says, we'll quit scolding her, we'll just advise her. Aha. She needs a buddy. And you're the one to be her buddy, he said to his wife. You and I, we her parents. So it came to a stage now, she didn't need a pastor. She didn't need a prophet at this stage. She needed a buddy. She didn't need parents just to provide her clothes and her food and a place to sleep for the outside man. And just to take her to Sunday school and tell her, let's sit down, let's have family altar, which are all good things to feed the soul. Those things continue on as normal. But that wasn't meeting the need. Because the need wasn't here. It was an emotional need. It was down the realm of filial love. It's that realm. So she needs a buddy. She needs someone who's going to be able to come down to where she is in that realm. To understand her. To think her thoughts. So that she feels, hey dad, I didn't think you understood me on this one here. But now I can see you really understand. I can say, hey dad, thank you. I know now you understand what I was feeling. That's what she needed. The prophet says, these kids today need a buddy. Not all the time, in that sense that he's saying. I know when you read these things, remember last time when a young brother went home to his dad and said, Brother Andrew was saying you need to be my buddy. You're not supposed to correct me. You're supposed to be not saying that. There's a season that you young people need a whipping, 100%. There's a season that you really need a big, big whipping. But there's seasons when you know that a whipping now is going to play right into the hands of the devil. Amen. A whipping's not going to work here because there's a need for love. There's a need for oil and wine in that particular realm. So we just got, he says, we got down there on our knees and committed to God. I said, I know she's 18 years old. Now he starts to pray about it. She will be in a few days. And she's a girl. That age that'll think about boyfriends. You see, I've started to change now. When he's starting to look at it in a different... Now he said, oh, I'm telling all the time, no, you won't get married, Becky. You stay with me. I said, but she's 18 years old. My, I can't be saying that to her anymore. She wants to get married like all other girls coming up to her age. And her other friends are getting in relationships, although they weren't right, the relationships they were getting in. But that's affecting her. And the devil comes in to take advantage of the situation. So she's a girl and she'll think about boyfriends, and we've kept her in. Friends, there's a time you've got to start letting go. You've got to commit something into the hands of the Lord and then start letting it go a little bit.
Amen.
Because there's a time that the keeping it in works very well, but there's a time that the keeping it in works against the very purpose that you're trying to achieve.
Yes, sir.
And that's something which no one can tell you, but you, the fifth gospel.
Amen.
God has put it in you. As a parent, like the duck has the instinct. Yeah? You have it inside of you as a parent. Because if God gave you those parents, God put the equipment in you to be the right parents to those children. Otherwise, He would have given those children to somebody else. But you've got to get your own emotions out the way sometimes. You've got to stop looking at things the way that you used to look at things. And say, okay, let me commit this to the Lord now. Let me go and ask the Lord about this. And the Lord will start saying, hey, the battlefield's changed, my friend. You've got to change your weaponry a little bit here. You can't use Luther's weaponry now. No, you can't use First World War tanks to fight a battle now. You've got to update things to fight the current conditions, current equipment, current armor. Something that's needed for now to face the conditions that are there now. And when the prophet went and sought the Lord revealed that to him. We've kept her in. He says, I never wanted to see her married. I wanted to put her in the office here to do the work. We all wanted that. But she said, his wife, we can't do that. She just won't listen to it. So we got down and committed to God. Said we'd take our hands off of it. And that afternoon she came in and she said, well, I guess you're still saying I ain't going over there. And Mita said, no, I never said anything about that. You know, your mother doesn't want you to do that. And it almost killed your daddy when he heard you playing that boogie-woogie music, ever what it was. He didn't want you to do that. We don't want you to do that, Becky. But we've committed it to the Lord. I want you to know we love you. Whatever you do, we still love you. That's unconditional love. That's another realm of love, friends.
Amen.
That's unconditional love. That you get into a place in your life, you've got to make the choices. Even if you make the wrong choices, Daddy's still going to be here. Because I'm always going to love you.
Hallelujah.
I'm always, remember what he said to Billy Paul? I'm always going to be your daddy, Billy Paul. Even when you make a mistake, even when you want to go out there to the world. Remember when you took him to the, said, put your arms out. And he said, Billy Paul, this is where you're standing here. One road leads to heaven, the other one leads to hell. You can't walk the same two roads at the same time.
Yeah.
You've got to make the choice.
Right.
And Billy Paul says, Daddy, I want to go and see what the world is like. And he said, Paul, that's a mistake. He says, because sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. But God will turn you around because I claimed you under the token.
Amen.
And when all those people let you down, yeah? When all those people let you down and you're feeding the swine with holes in your pants and you've wasted all of your father's inheritance, I'll still be here for you.
Amen.
I'll still be your father. Amen. I'll still love you as much as I ever loved you.
Amen.
Friends, that's a powerful force.
Amen.
There's nothing can conquer that force.
Amen.
But you can't make it up. It's got to be there. It's got to kick in at that kind of a time. And if you have the willingness and the desire, surely He will minister that to you exactly at the time that you need it. Just as much as we said with forgiveness. You might say, it's so hard for me to forgive my father for what he did to me. But if you'll take that to the altar and be willing to forgive, that's the key, to be willing to forgive. And go and say, Lord, I want to forgive him. It's hard. You're going to have to help me forgive him. He will give you the spirit of forgiveness. He will give you power to become a son or daughter of God. He will give you what you need. Because you're willing. So now he'll give you that. That's all it is a willingness. So he finishes off. She says, whatever you do, we still love you. So she hollered and said, I'm going anyhow. It's not going to be that easy. Said, all right, dear. I'll have supper ready when you get back.
Amen.
She never did go.
Amen.
She's never went since.
Amen.
Not long after that, she met George. And George is a Christian. And that settled it then.
Amen.
He has an answer, friends. But maybe sometimes while you're waiting for his provision, let's not make the situation worse. Let's try to make the situation better. Let's try to help people to navigate through that time. Because it's a tricky kind of a time. And when the prophet speaks about teenagers, as we come to a close, he says, in Blushing Prophet, you know this quote, our boys has got 10 times the temptation that we had. And your daughter has 10 times the temptation you had when you were a girl. He says, what will her daughter have? That's us. Look at the things, the pictures the devils are painting. You know where all this problem comes in, friends? Because it's Satan's Eden. And you know how it's become Satan's Eden? It's very interesting. We were away on a holiday for a few days this week. I had to come back early because there was a funeral in the family. But when you really go and study, it's really interesting. Teenagers, there was no such thing as teenagers until this last generation. Teenagers were just older children. Because the way that society used to be, you used to have your farm, because most people worked on the farm, or a small town. And you used to have your son, your children working with you on the farm. And then when it was time for them to marry, you'd give them some land, just over there. And they'd build their house, and they'd still be near to you. There was no such thing as teenage. But when the Great Depression came, and then the Second World War, and the industrialization of things, and cities rose up, and transportation became easier. Yeah, children now started to feel the lure of the city. And where did the cities come from? From Cain, friends. Cain had a son, and he called his name Enoch. And he built a city and called it after the name of his son Enoch. City lives of the devil, friends. Let me tell you that clearly. As much as the prophet says, civilization is of the devil. God never intended people to live this kind of a life. Because God didn't only give you the family as a defense. He gave you the extended family as a defense. The extended family is such an important part. But now it's the age of the nuclear family. You just live yourself, you, your wife, and your children, far away from any of your extended family. There's no safety net anymore. If you miss someone, there's no one to pick it up anymore. Whereas in the olden days, you used to have Uncle so-and-so living over there and Auntie so-and-so there. And your 6 cousins that were older than you over there. So if a child was doing something that wasn't right, there were 5, 6 people, including the school teacher in those days, would come and tell you, Uncle Andy, you know what Daniel was doing or Rachel was doing down there. And you had like a safety net. You had an extended family, which was the grace of God. Go back to the beginning. Abraham, he lives with Isaac. He lives with Jacob. They make their tribe. Yeah? It keeps them together, keeps them in the faith. They marry among each other. That was God's provided way in the beginning. Then Satan came in with civilization. And the prodigal son, where did he make his mistake? The prophet says he listened to those little boys from the city. He told him, leave your father.
Yes.
He's too old-fashioned. Come and live with us in the city.
Amen.
And there's nothing as impersonal as city life.
Amen.
The prophet says you don't even know that your neighbors died until you read it in the newspaper.
Amen.
You don't even know your neighbors anymore. It didn't used to be like that.
Amen.
Everyone would have known everybody. That's why in African culture you would call your cousin sister. You'd call your cousin brother. They're part of the family.
Amen.
That's God's provided way, friends.
Amen.
And that's why when Satan's Eden is coming to its climax and the family is fragmented and disintegrating the way that it is, we need the family of God more than ever before.
Amen.
We need to be our brother's keeper. We need to watch over each other.
That's
Because there's nobody out there anymore to watch over our children or us. The young guy gets out in the wrong crowd. He doesn't have cousins anymore. He doesn't have the next door neighbor's kids that you're so close with. The next door neighbors go on holiday and they leave their children with you. That's how it used to be.
Amen.
Now Satan's made all these pedophilia laws and all of these kind of things. That is hard. The teacher used to be able to even hug a child in days gone by. If the child had hurt herself, now they have to get you to sign a form before they'll even put a plaster on your child. Friend, that's Satan's civilization. That's what it is. It really is satanic, the whole system we're living under. And we've just got to be careful we don't give in to the system. Because we from a higher civilization, we from a faith civilization, we have the family of God. You are your brother's keeper. It is my responsibility to look after your children. It is your responsibility to watch over my children. And if my children are doing something wrong, it's your responsibility to come and tell me. Because you love me, we're part of the family. That's the way that it used to be. But we end up with city life now. With children now, they move far away from their parents. Far away from people who care for them. Because there's a continuity in family life. Continuity in the extended family. You know, if you have a problem, I know where it came from. I remember when you were 7 years old this happened. And I remember when you were 13 that happened. And that's why you're behaving the way that... But when you live in city life, nobody knows your past. Nobody knows why you behave the way that you behave. Can you just see how unnatural the whole thing is?
Amen.
You could say a lot about the family, but I'll be careful. Because we could be broadcast here. There's a lot about the family in this age, friends. But God has never changed His mind about the family.
Amen.
He's never, 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 never. And the extended family was God's, part of God's defense. To minister to the emotional needs of the children when they were growing up. That's why just as much as Satan attacks the family, he attacks the community. That's what he did. He destroyed the whole community. There's no community life anymore. Everybody's so busy. Now people live next door to us, they work in Belfast. People live next door to, they work in Nice. They work here, they work there, they come home 8 o'clock at night. You never know your neighbors. You never know the people living near. You don't know their children. You're scared if the child falls down and scratches herself off the bicycle. You're scared to pick the child up. And friend, it's not natural to bring up children in this kind of an environment. God never intended children to be brought up like that. There's supposed to be this network around them. There's supposed to be that if the parents are caught up in something and don't catch it, the extended family picks it up. If the extended family doesn't, then the community kicks in. The prophet that used to be in the neighbor was sick, other people would come and cut wood for them. Other people would get down to the shop and run and do their chores. He says, it's not like it anymore. Can you see how things have changed? But friends, let's not be Laodiceans. Let's be believers. Let's be believers. And that's how we should so appreciate the family of God. We should so appreciate the family of God. And if somebody comes to tell you that your child didn't behave well, you should shake that person's hand and say, God bless you. Instead of getting offended like some people do. We should never be offended by those kind of things. Even if somebody doesn't handle the situation perfectly the way that you would have handled the situation. But look beyond that and look at what they were trying to do. They could have just left the situation the way that it was and you wouldn't have been any the wiser. But they're trying to do it for you. They're trying to do it to help the family. Because we are the family. And the family really got fragmented. So let's look at just one thing as we close. Because of this breakdown, the very first thing, if you speak of those five languages to express love, the very first one, which is going to be needed more now than ever, is quality time. Quality time. To compensate for all that's taking place in Satan's Eden. If you want a strong relationship with your children, yeah, to be a real defense to them. If you're wanting a strong relationship with your wife. If you're wanting a strong relationship in the family of God. The very first thing you've got to be able to do is sacrifice your own things to provide quality time. No, they say it these days, there's a saying in the world, they say, yeah, I don't give much time to my children, but the time that I give them is quality time. I tell you, that's a lie. There's no such thing. Because quality time comes from quantity time.
That's right.
It's like when you read your Bible. You start reading your Bible, your mind's far off. It takes quite a lot of quantity before it moves into quality.
Hallelujah.
And in any relationships, it's the same. It's got to take just a lot of talking, spending time together. Then you hit that certain stage that it becomes fertile ground. Then it becomes the beneficial time of that time. But if you're not willing to invest in the quantity, that's why I read the scripture. If you're not willing to sow abundantly, you won't get the quality. You won't. And people are so busy and they think that things will substitute for themselves in the lives of children. It'll never.
Amen.
It'll never. It's your presence they need.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and they said something about going to the restaurant. Somebody said the other day. It was a very good point. They said, if you go to the restaurant, you can tell the people that are dating in courtship and you can tell the people that are married. Because the people that are in courtship, they're talking to each other. They're looking at each other in the eyes. The people that are married are looking around the restaurant or looking on their phone. Can you see where it gets to? And friends, we have to break that cycle. If you find strain is coming in your relationships, you've got to break the cycle. And the only way you break the cycle, you've got to make sacrifice yourself. That instead of doing some of the pet things that you are allowed to do, you say, no, I'm going to invest that time. Because when you take time, you're taking part of yourself. You're taking part of your life and you're giving it to somebody else. When you give somebody undivided attention, because that's what's needed, undivided attention. Friend, you're taking part of yourself and that person picks it up straight away and they feel it to say, my daddy really loves me. He's willing to leave everything else. Yeah? And he's willing to give me time. Do you know that Susanna Wesley used to take 1 hour per child during the week, every child, and spend 1 hour separately with every child. Because she knew every child's individual. When you're with your children, you know what it's like. When you're together with them, just you and them, they're different. They'll speak a lot of things different. They behave in a different way. It's the same as when you're with the Lord. Yeah?
Hallelujah.
Ask someone to come and pray when there's a lot of people. You don't really know how to pray properly. The real prayer, the real unfolding of yourself is when it's just you and the Lord. Just quality time, you and the Lord. That's when you'll say what's in your heart. And that's when the Lord has an opportunity now to speak to your situation, to speak to your unique circumstances. And when you're in His presence, it's like you're the only person in the universe. That's how you feel. It's like all His attention is upon you. It's not like the Lord saying to you, look, no, hurry up, please. No, I'm busy. There's a lot of other people I've got to get to. Friends, that's the powerful thing about the Lord. When you're with the Lord, it's like you are the most important thing in the world. And that's what quality time is. It's when you can express that to someone. Give someone time. Let your heart be in it. Let your mind be in it. Let your soul be. Forget the phone. Forget WhatsApp and Facebook and those things. There's nothing worse. And we've all done it. I learned a lot when I was really going through these things, friends. When you're having a meal time at the table, that can really be quality time. As a family. It can be. Because you can start to ask questions. How was your day? What happened to you at school? How was your day? What happened? And that's why you need to take all those electronic devices and leave them at those kind of times. All those things of Satan's Eden, the tree of knowledge that pulls us away from the very, very things that we need to be doing and the very things that the very investments that we need to make to overcome the conditions of the day. But those kind of times, quality time is such an important thing. It really, really is. The prophet, when he speaks of the boy with the pencil eraser, he says, the little baby eating the erasers off of a pencil. The reason that baby eat the erasers, that was rubber. The doctors examined him in a clinic and found out he needed sulfur. And before there could be a craving for sulfur, there had to be a sulfur there to respond to the crave. So before you can want more of God, let's now substitute family, daddy, mummy, whatever, husband, wife. So before you can have a deep inside of you to say, I long for a deeper relationship, it means there's a deeper relationship there. Before you can long for more of God, it means there's more of God out there that you're longing for. But for you to get that more of God into your experience, you're going to have to make some sacrifices.
Amen.
Remember the prophet said it in the Pentecostal meeting. He said, you woman, you've gone as far with God as he can take you until you're willing to pay a higher price.
Amen.
And I would change that. We've gone as far with our wives as we can go until we're willing to invest more.
Amen.
We've gone as far with our children as we can take them until we're willing to pay a higher price. And the main one here, the hardest one in this age, this complex age, the prophet says, is to spend time with them. Quality time. Undivided, unrestricted time. Time to give them an opportunity to know who you really are. We went to a funeral. My sister-in-law's mother passed away. And it was a real good opportunity because you get an opportunity with your children, friends. They'll ask you, Daddy, we would have loved to have known Granddad. How was Granddad? And you can tell them about your dad. You can tell them about how you grew up. They're getting to know you better.
Amen.
And you're getting to know them better. And there's something inside of each and every one of us. We want that bond in our relationships. We don't want these distant relationships. We want something that's real, that's personal, something that's close up. God made us like that. But friend, there's a civilization, a society, there's an order of things out there that's an enemy to this. And we can give in to it. They say the average child in America now spends 7 hours a day on screens. 7 hours a day. And that's why the children now, they don't have the ability to converse in an interpersonal way with people. Because God never wanted us to be spending all of our time just ourselves and some little something in there in an imaginary world. That has its place in a measure. That's fine. No, Brother Barry Coffey, he gave me good advice once when he came and he said, if you want to spend time with your family, if you want to get them off the tablets and the computer games, he said, buy board games. Because a board game is interpersonal. Yeah, you're dealing with each other, you're talking, you can talk, you're discussing, you're plotting this, you're plotting that, they're learning something, you're spending quality time together. There's a lot of ways of doing it, but when they're in that little world by themselves, with that screen there, it's just them and that imaginary world. And friends, that's not natural. It's not natural for them to allow them to have too much of that. If you're not compensating, on the other hand, to give them the real personal something, there's going to be a lack inside of this development here as they're growing up. And then you wonder why we have all the things that we're going through in this world. And that's why as we finish, agape love is sacrificial love. Agape love looks at somebody and says, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for them. For them to meet their need. That's what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
It's willing to say, okay, I might have all these other things I would like to do at this time, but honestly, they're really not that necessary compared to this most important thing, which is my relationships.
Amen.
Nothing's more important than your relationship. Your job is not more important than your relationships and never will be. Money is not more important Amen. Than your relationships and never will be. The most important thing is your relationships. That's the most important thing to invest in. Everything else takes care of itself after that. But it needs a willingness. It needs a willingness to understand. It needs a willingness to give more to that person. It needs a willingness to say, I'm going to sacrifice this and I'm going to take this part of me and I'm going to give it to this person with all my heart. To really try to understand, to really try to enter into the place, the deep that this person has inside of their life. God has put me in their life to minister to that deep, that part of the deep. And no one else will be able to do it. And like we say, if we don't do it, friends, the devil's got many slickers out there, especially with our children, that will offer them a substitute. Will offer them the kingdom now, like he did to Jesus. Instead of paying the price for the kingdom to come. So as we're living in Satan's Eden, we see things falling apart. God has raised a standard. God has given us the message of the hour. Friends, what a standard that He's given us. But not only that, He's given us a word that restores. It restores what a family really should be. It restores what a church really should be. It restores everything to minister to the entire man. And that's how the prophet says, a full gospel. Yeah. A full gospel to minister to the entire man. I'm sure that's what you desire. Let's stand, saints. Let's bow our heads as we ask the musicians to come up. Just as we're thinking of just our own situation. Just ask yourself, how do you spend your time? The Bible says redeeming the time. For the days are evil. That puts those two things together. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard to meet him. And you and I are part of the raised standard. As we allow the Word to become flesh in us, we are the raised standard to meet the challenge of the day. Just ask yourself, what should be my priority at this time? Am I focusing on the right thing? If you're not, why not, when you come before the Lord in prayer, why not speak to Him about it? Why not say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done? Why not say, Lord, I'm willing to come and lay myself on the altar. I'm willing to lay aside that which is good for that which is better. And I really do believe the Lord will lead you in a real way, in a practical way, to show you step by step the way that you can go from where you are, the next stage in the relationship that He wants you to have. And may the Lord help us on that. Let's sing one song with the eyes closed by George, just a chorus. And let's come to a time of prayer. Let's speak to the Lord, saints. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for our church. We need His grace.
Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me. Oh, please shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine. Will somebody say, shine on me? Shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine. Oh, Jesus, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine. Oh, shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine. Shine on me, Lord. Jesus, keep shining on, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine. Oh, one last time, please, Lord, you shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Keep shining, shine on me. The lighthouse shine on me.
Let's not forget what Jesus said, saints. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Let's come before the Lord. Let's lay our souls upon the altar and say, Lord, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank you that I'm not what I used to be. But just keep me, Lord. Keep me and help me to keep making progress. Lord, shine the light. Shine the light, the next step. Show me what it is that I should do next, Lord. Show me the next investment that I should make. Lord, help me to make wise investments. Help me to use the resources that you've given unto me wisely, Lord. because I know that whatsoever I sow, that shall I reap. And may the Lord lead you, my friend. May He help you if your past is holding you back. You need to forgive. You need to face up to what it was, and you need to let it go. And if you're having a hard time letting it go, you need to lay it on the altar, and you need to speak to the Lord, and you need to say, Lord, let the power of transformation come into my situation, Lord, and transform the way that I look at this situation. Whatever the situation that you have inside of your life, let's pray. Let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for the meetings coming up. Pray for yourself that you may be what God wants you to be. Let's all seek the Lord. Oh, Father.
Oh,
Amen.
Take you back to what you used to be. Before the wounds came in. Before the scars came in. Before the misunderstandings.
Amen.
You know, let him pour in the oil and the wine. Say, Lord, take me back. Let's sing that song as a prayer and say, Lord, take me back to what it used to be when I first met you. Even in your relationship with your wife. Say, Lord, take me back. I want the honeymoon to last forever.
Amen.
Lord, may you restore. Take me back with my children, Lord. I remember how my relationship used to be with them, but then my job, then this or that and the other came, and Lord, take me back. Take me back. Let's sing it as a prayer.
Take me back.
Take me back to home. To the place where I first received you, Lord. Take me back, take me back. Take me back to home. Where I first came. Right now, Lord, please take me back. Take me back, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you, Lord. Take me back, take me back.
If you'd come to please pray for us at the end of the service, brother, to ask the Lord's blessing as we dismiss. Cup of announcement, saints. Payment, please, for youth meetings, youth camp. We said first week of July, so if anybody hasn't paid, who do we give them to, Brother Will? To yourself? Brother Will holds the money back. Amen. Then this Wednesday, saints, there's no normal service. It's our office's special prayer meeting. We want to have that once a month. So Wednesday will be a special prayer meeting for the officers. I think it's very beneficial. And then Friday is our day of consecration. We should have had it last Friday, but I intentionally left it for a week because we have the youth meetings coming up. So let's come on Friday. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. And let's come and pray specifically for the Lord's blessing upon the meetings next week. So we'd really invite everybody to come along Friday. Let's consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Let's really put this before the Lord, that the Lord might continue the work that He's doing in the midst of our young people. We really appreciate what the Lord is doing. Let's sing the song and we ask our brother to pray for us.
Come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us, oh, He turns us back. Come and break off this wall, oh, you will never face the king. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride, say, oh, come out, come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back, oh, He turns us back.
come with the Spirit and the bride say come. The Spirit and the bride say come.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
You are the rock of age.
Amen.
You are our redeemer.
Mm.
Oh God, we are privileged to be this morning into your presence, oh God.
Mm.
We are feeling your presence amongst us, oh God. It's with a great joy, Lord,
Amen.
That we came in your presence, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for each one of us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In this time, Lord, this end time, we glorify your great name, Lord, for sending us a great prophet, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for Malachi 4, oh Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for Luke 17:30, oh God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for Revelation 10, Lord.
Hallelujah.
All this great blessing in this hour, oh God. For the revelation of your word, Lord, to us, oh God. It's a great privilege for us, oh God. May your name be glorified, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you continue blessing this little church, oh God. And may you bless the ministry, oh God. And bless, Lord, and every parent, and every brother, and every sister, Lord, every young ones. All the children, Lord, and I just leave them in your hands, Lord. In your mighty hands, oh God. And may you, Lord, just give us back the joy of our salvation, oh God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who are not well in the body, Lord. You are the great physician, Lord. You are the high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity, oh God. You are able, Lord, and more than able, Lord, to meet our needs, oh God. May you undertake for each one of us, Lord. Each need, oh God. Especially for the young ones, Lord. For the youth, Lord. We pray for the upcoming youth meeting, Lord. May you, Lord, help the youth, Lord, with your mighty hand, Lord. In this evil time, Lord. We glorify your name. We love you because you love us before the foundation of the world. And you've predestinated us, Lord, to the eternal life, oh God. We glorify your name. We bless your name one more time. We pray this blessing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Amen. Let's sing as we dismiss the one of them. Aren't you glad you're one of them? Friends, I'm so glad I'm one of them. It's so wonderful to be a believer. Like the brother was praying, what a privilege that we have to be a believer at this time. Like the prophet says, if I wasn't a Christian at this kind of a time, he says, I can't even imagine what I would be. Imagine trying to face up to the conditions of this day without the certainty of the fact that Christ is with you. That he'll never leave you. That his wisdom is your inheritance. His revelation is your inheritance. That no matter what takes place, he has it all under control. It's wonderful, saints. Let's appreciate him as we sing the song and dismiss. And may the Lord bless you.
One away. I'm so glad that I can't say I want to be one of them. I'm so glad that I can't say I want to be one of them. That's what I want to be. I'm with them. I'm not afraid to die.
service? No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I had drifted. Oh, all of my 20 days.
Hallelujah.
He searched for that in various, ways. Probably at some, but not for the mark.
Hallelujah.
God gave us a sign on the winds of the wind, on the winds of the sun, on the winds of the snow. I got God said he's going to be a sign for my mind on the winds of